June 27th, 2024, JEDCO Executive Committee meeting and the Forward Jefferson Corporation.
It was a long time ago. I lived for after law school and four kids.
All right, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. I know you have a new face. It's AI. Just picture Myra Pineda right here in the seat. But it's me. And I made sure I was on time for Patty. So I'd like to call the meeting to order this morning. And if I could get Jim Martin, please, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Could everybody stand?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Good morning again, and I'd like to welcome our guests, Mr. Reed Smith from JP and Kevin Willis from Taylor & Willis CPA firm. So everyone, I'd like to get an approval of from the board of the absences for today, June 27, 2024, Ryan Hayden and Myra Pineda. Can I get a motion?
Motion.
It's been moved by Stephen. Can I get a second? And Jean. It's been moved. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes. Approval of board absences for May 30th, 2024. Stephen Robinson and Melissa Simeon requested to be excused from the May 30th meeting. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
So moved. By Billy, second. Jean. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, the motion passes again. Thank you. I'd like to get an approval of the minutes of May 30th.
Move to approve.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right, motion passes again. You guys are an easy group. All right, so if we could get any public comments on the agenda items. No comments? All right. All right, now we will have the unfinished and new business. This is a resolution approving the First Amendment to the Cooperative Endeavor Agreement by and between the Parish of Jefferson and the Jefferson Parish Economic Development and Port District, which extends the term of the agreement until midnight on June 30th, 2025, regarding the development of a comprehensive multi-tiered marketing and public relations campaign to attract new business to JP. Kelsey?
Hello. So last year, the board approved a cooperative endeavor agreement between JEDCO and the parish for an attraction campaign. This is $110,000 that the parish is giving us to really broaden our scope and highlight what we're doing here in our community in a different way. We've already done a lot of the work here. We did a really successful fam tour earlier in April, which was headed up by Janet Galati, who is such a rock star, who was really successful. And then we have engaged with Deep Fried to come up with an attraction brand concept, which is how we're going to be sort of repositioning the look and feel of the organization and our focus on bringing new business into the community. The last big piece of the puzzle is the website. We're going to be overhauling our entire site and really just broadening the scope of what we're doing. We realized that we were going to need a little bit more time to do that, so we asked for a no-cost extension from the parish through June 30th next year, and we're just asking you guys to approve that as well.
Okay. All right. So if I can get a motion to approve.
I'll move.
Okay. Second.
Second.
It's been moved up. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, all opposed? All right, the motion passes.
Thank you.
All right, now we need an approval of JEDCO's 2024 first amended budget. Jennifer?
Hi. So we're seeking approval of the first amended budget. So in your packet, you'll see the budget sheet detailing the proposed amended budget as compared to the preliminary budget that you guys approved in July 2023. Also on these sheets, it'll show you a detail of the actual expenses of where we ended fiscal year December 23 and the current year spending through April as compared to the budget that we're proposing for 2024. If you look on, I'm not going to go line by line, tried to create a summary. If you look on page 10, I think in your packet, this is a summary of changes to JEDCO's budget, rolling it basically from the proposed original budget to the first amended budget. It's going to detail high level the $1.1 million swing from the $823,000 deficit that was approved in the original budget to an approximate $244,000 surplus in the first amended budget. The summary budget, the JEDCO's operational budget, I'm looking at my sheet to make sure the page is right, can be found on page 25, and then, which basically rolls up all the department sheets that are found behind it, pages 28 through 40. So the summary that I'm going to go over on page 10 is the summary of the budget that you find on page 25. To start, we're looking at page 10. First, I want to point out, I'll start with the $200,000 of funds that we received from JEDCO Development Corporation for the building of the food incubator building. And I'm just pointing that out because those expenses, the corresponding expenses for the $200,000 is probably not going to be realized until early 2025. So that's not real revenue. There's some expenses. And I say real revenue, it's real revenue to build the building. But if you pull that out, what we really are looking at is an approximate $44,000 operating surplus, almost a break-even budget. So I put that $200,000 in to explain the increase in revenue, but that's not true operational revenue. So if we go down the summary, some of the things that we were able to do. So we did add a couple of departments, Churchill Park, and we added a new director. And then we have kept in the budget an E&I director that will possibly help with building the food incubator building and then possibly managing that program. So the $44,000 is in line with where we've landed for the past couple of years in spending, almost a break even, just a very slight surplus, if you will. Last fiscal year was about $80,000. So it's in line with last year, but there were some additional revenues and some savings that we were able to find to offset these increased costs. So if you go down the summary, first looking at revenue, we have an increase of about $200,000 for loan fund eligible income to JEDCO. And I worked with Jennifer in finance to take a look at the allowable income that is transferred to the general fund from these loan fund payments, basically the interest earned on these loans, and we're able to put an additional $200,000 into the operational budget. Pilot revenues, you see an increase of about $154,000, and that's basically new leases with Latrim, correct me if I'm wrong, KHA Affordable Properties, and RNGD. So some additional leases that have increased our revenue line by, like I said, $154,000. Interest income, that's a really large number, $178,000. That's not all new income. I think it's just been budgeted. This is a more realistic budget of where I'm projecting interest income to be for 24. And I am actually seeing an increase in earnings on our deposit accounts at Home Bank. So that is just more of a realistic budget of where we think interest income will be for 24. So all in, we've added quite a bit of revenue. And then on the expense side, we have a better handle, so we'll see an increase, or all of these expenses are decreases to expenses, so it looks positive because they're increasing fund balance, but these are all savings. So $89,000 for salaries, benefits, and taxes. Again, better budgeting with the benefits, more realistic budgeting. We have increased some FTE, but then you know, we also are budgeting better with strategic initiatives. For example, with Gretna and Kenna revenues, we receive $100,000, which offset expenses. And so actually putting that back into the budget and showing that as long as we have those funds, it's saving JEDCO $100,000 in operation costs by having those revenues from Kenna and Gretna. Liability insurance, I've mentioned before at the board meeting, we hired an outside risk consultant to take a more comprehensive look at our insurance, working with the brokers, looking at where we're overinsured, changing property values down, so we're able to put $88,000 back in the budget. Those are savings from that process. Accounting audit, these are $66,000 decreased budget for outside consulting, so we're able to take that line down a little bit. $30,000 computer. So we were able to put $30,000 back in the budget from our shift from Azure to the cloud. So the work that we've been doing, taking QuickBooks online, basically utilizing the product we have with Microsoft and decreasing the cost to have the servers. So I think 30 is going to be where we land, but we could see a little more savings as we finalize. They just did a migration last night and really start to see the invoices and what those costs are going to look like. $69,000 for departmental operating expenses. I think our departments really look for efficiencies and savings where we could cut some. Not cut anything major, but just find some efficiencies and lower budgets where we can. So that was, we were able to put $69,000 back to the bottom line. So this summary just basically rolls what we approved in July to now, and the large swing describes, basically details the $1.1 million swing from where we were. Any questions on general fund? Okay. The budget sheets for Edge, Development Corp, and Loan Funds are on pages 11 through 24. And really the only significant changes to the loan fund budgets from preliminary relates to the administrative expenses related to what I was talking about of changing the calculation of eligible income to the general fund. So you'll see the increase of eligible income to JEDCO general fund is shown as an increased administrative expense on the loan funds. And then Edge is on page 11 and 12. And the only significant change there from preliminary budget are the transfers out of Edge to the general fund for LCRED of about $23,000 and SBP implementation expenses of about $104,000. So you'll see those as transfers out for Edge supporting those two projects in the general fund. Other than that, the summary is really on page 10 where you're going to find the significant changes. But any questions?
Well, seeing there are no questions, great job, Jennifer. Very efficient. Short, simple, and sweet. I'd like to get a motion, please, to approve.
Move to approve.
Okay, second. And we have a second. Okay, Michael. Sorry, Michael Fahrenholz. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. All right, and now we have our president and CEO report.
Well, thank you all for braving the rain for a short meeting. I want to start by thanking Jennifer. These budget amendments reflect a lot of work that has gone into this budget swing, because we had a lot of obstacles in our way, and her and the team, her team, did a lot of work on working with the staff, working with everyone's individual departmental budgets, and we're in a much better place, much better place now. From an activity standpoint, I mean, we have enjoyed a nice little run here of announcements. In the last three of them came in the same week, with Verdon North America, RNGD, and Riley Foods. And I'll talk a little bit about some of those. RNGD, the formerly Impetus, formerly Palmisano Construction, already had an operation in Jefferson. It was their fabrication, pretty much their fabrication yard, which was in the LaBarre Business Park. They had just recently, in 2018, built their new headquarters in the Lower Garden District. But they had an opportunity to purchase the adjacent land next to their fabrication yard in Jefferson and consolidate everything under one roof. So it's a win for us in a number of ways. One, it's going to be a significant increase in employment, but perhaps the most exciting part of that announcement is their establishment of an academy for the construction trade. So they'll be doing a lot of training, they're moving into much more modular construction, and a lot of that fabrication will be done now in Jefferson for installation in other parts of the country. So that's a great announcement. And the Riley Foods announcement, which is, it hit the media. We did not want it to hit the media only because they had not finalized their lease yet, but the media had found out that they have already notified their existing landlord that of their intent not to renew their lease. So that kind of spurred the media reaching out to us. We offered a no comment on that because it was not a done deal, and that's sort of our protocol. But this is a significant win for us as well. A couple of hundred employees. It is not lost on us that this is a New Orleans company through and through, a blue blood company that has pulled up stakes in the city and is moving their operations into Jefferson. This also is a consolidation project because admittedly after Hurricane Ida and through COVID, they sort of decentralized their company. The Evermore Water was operating on the North Shore, and the teas and coffees were here, and they were just kind of all over the place. They are going to bring all of those back office, all administrative and headquarter jobs under one roof in Jefferson. So we're still working with the council on that because the council intends to offer some discretionary funding to help them offset some of the moving costs. But it further solidifies Jefferson as that food cluster in the region, and that's been a focus of ours. We certainly celebrate all of our companies that are in that that food sector, and that goes from the raw product all the way to the manufactured product. We Kelsey and Annalisa were down at Grand Isle on the new off-bottom oyster initiative, and we're doing a campaign on how to promote those oysters. More and more of the restaurants are starting to carry them, even though that's considered a premium product and a much higher price point. There's a willingness, they believe, that customers will pay that for that premium product. So we're really doing a lot in that food space. I had mentioned that, you know, coming to the end of the last session at our last meeting, that our roadway in Churchill Park was finally moved into priority one. All of that money was moved into priority one. It ended session still in priority one, and we have some cheerleaders helping us, but the last step will be to make sure that the bond commission approves that, which will allow us to move forward with the access road. But between that and, as you can start to see come into fruition, the Ilario sportsplex across the street, there is a lot of momentum here in the area, and that goes for our food and beverage incubator as well. Some of you are aware that when Benson Capital announced that they were not that they were closing their brewery and building in New Orleans East, they had approached us, and we were in discussions with them. They have now confirmed they no longer intend to reopen that. That's pretty much a done deal. But through those conversations, we believe that there's a sincere interest on their part to partner with us on the food and beverage incubator. It's a space they want to be in. And so our team is going to be meeting to put together a proposal and some different types of asks to circle back with Benson Capital and see if there is a an opportunity for them to partner with us on both the food and beverage incubator as well as the multi-tenant building, which we also intend to move forward on. So we're gonna we intended to issue the RFQ for the multi-tenant building at this time, but in consultation with our consultants and after some of our meetings with Benson Capital, we're going to tap the brakes a little bit on that and make that presentation to them first and see where their tolerance and interest lies. But that is very promising that they have an interest, and the indications back to us were that Ms. Benson wants more investment in food and beverage, that it's she recognizes it as a primary industry in this region, and she wants to do her part to support those businesses. So hopefully that bears out, but it's just you know, one of the activities that the team is involved in, and there's a lot of good going on right now in the parish, thanks to the team. I don't know if anybody has any questions or thoughts.
Yes. So if there are no other updates or comments from the JEDCO Board of Commissioners, no comments? Okay, well, can I get a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Been moved by Michael, second.
Second.
Second by Stephen. All right, motion carries, and the meeting is ended. If you'd please stay seated, though, for the Forge meeting, I'd appreciate it.
You're going to have a lot of issues there.
All right, I'd like to call the meeting to order and approve the absences for today. The absences are Brian Hayden and Myra Pineda. And once again, we've already recognized our guests, so welcome. I'd like to get a motion, please, to approve the absences.
Motion.
Okay, motion by Stephen, second by?
Second.
Okay, Michael, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Approval of the minutes for May 30th, 2024. Can I get a motion?
I'll move.
Okay, Billy, can I get a second?
Jim.
Okay, Jim.
I have a lot of questions about this 990, you're going to see.
So, Jim, are you second?
Second.
Okay, Jim has made a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes once again. Public comments on the agenda items. Any public comments? I think everybody's ready. Okay. So unfinished and new business. I'd like to please have Jennifer provide the approval of the 2023 tax form 990.
Actually, I'm going to introduce Kevin to present the 990.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all thought the last meeting was, this is about the year rowdy, so. this one typically gets rowdy because it's a postcard. So when an organization's revenue is below $50,000, the reporting requirements become very small, and it's literally just a postcard that goes to the Internal Revenue Service. Now, what's interesting for Jefferson is that you're flitting right around that $50,000 mark, you get $45,500. This past year, a lot of that was from, I believe it was from Horizon Bank, was the large one. It was Horizon Bank and Home Bank were the two largest contributors for this past fiscal year. So the question, I'm just going to go ahead and pose it, the question that always comes up is, why do we have to have this? Why do you have to have this? Right, and a lot of this is because some organizations have to fund their their contributions or what they need to pay into a particular type of organization. So the money that comes into this is funneled right out. And I believe Todd has already given your overall presented the audit. So these numbers, the contributions that are received from this organization have already been just moved out. And you'll probably see it as an administrator. I believe you even said in your report that these are just transferred right out into other organizations. So if anybody has any questions on these or anything about the way this organization works, or the way that it's reported, not the way that it works, but more importantly, how it's reported, I would be happy to entertain those. But otherwise, that's really it. It's basically just a funnel. So some organizations have a particular way that they have to contribute. This is an option that you guys have given other organizations, and then it comes in and it funnels out. That's it. Usually we get into a big discussion. All right. I had notes and everything.
All right, I'll ask a new guy question.
Yes.
First time. So your reference to we bump up against that line, am I to read the schedule on page one, page two at the back of this deck?
Yep.
In the 2023 period,
yep.
45,000.
Yeah.
That's like...
So that $45,000 is $500 short because you did have, there's one organization and it might be a private foundation or a private organization that gave $500. But yes, that's the number that we're talking about that's splitting up against that five. So if you'd have gotten another $10,000, we'd be following the 990E.
So I'm seeing a trend that year over year, we're bumping. Is that 2024?
Yes.
What are we thinking is going to happen there?
Yeah, so that really all depends on First Horizon, because First Horizon was the big first.
Billy, Forge is our 501c3. Mm-hmm. So we have a number of Edge investors that just give it straight to JEDCO.
Right.
But some of the banks, for example, that do this through their community investment funds or whatever, they prefer, or for tax reasons, they prefer to give it to the nonprofit mm-hmm. than JEDCO directly. So we'll just start discouraging those.
Okay. Well,
and another reason.
Yeah,
well,
how much does it cost?
We got to file a new form.
I'm joking.
No, I know you're right, but I'm just realistically, if it trips over, is it just you file a different form?
Just file a different form. Yeah. And it can go back and forth year to year to year to year, so it doesn't. It's very simple in that manner.
So it's way to ask a question.
You were holding it back. I saw it.
So if there are no other questions for Kevin, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
And Jennifer, he makes your job look really good here too as well. All right. So can I get a motion to approve the 2023 tax form 990 information that was just presented?
Move.
All right, Jim.
Second.
Moved. And who is that? Michael.
Got it.
Yes, he. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, all opposed? Motion passes. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Oh, Billy.
Second.
All right, and second. Well, our meeting is over.
It happens every time. Now I got to tell Myra you held two meetings in under 30 minutes.
Whoa.